This is our last session, and the sermon this morning is very connected to this. So let's start with a word of prayer. God, your Spirit has given us gifts and ministries and things to do. We believe that you have eagerly been teaching us, excited that we are drawing closer to your heart and your mind, so that we're becoming more like Jesus. So may we reflect your Spirit as we continue to sit at your feet and learn. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all you've done, all you're doing, and all you will do in and through us for the glory of Jesus Christ and his church. Amen. Okay, this is ornery. Shall I just hold it? Okay, I'll just hold it. I think it's too heavy for that clip. Okay. I will just hold it. So let us remember that spiritual gifts are special, extraordinary abilities. It just sink lower. This is, I have the same thing for my camera. Yeah, I think I'll just hold it. Thanks, Tom. Extraordinary abilities that God gives to build up the body of Christ, the church, for ministry to its members and through its members, the world. Just a reminder. So last Sunday, we covered two of the categories of ministries that we had written over here. And today we're going to cover the other two. So last week, we covered ministries that receive, worship ministries, congregational care ministries, relational ministry, and we covered ministries that relate, teaching and learning ministries, spiritual growth ministries, and helping ministries. So we're going to continue, and I hope that as you have looked at the results, or if you're still working on your results, it's fine, that you're seeing some what's that? Oh, light bulbs. I was going to say spotlights, but light bulbs going off. Oh, look at that. Areas for you to pray about where God may want you to serve. So the questions we asked, just to repeat, what ministries are you now performing, formally or informally, in the body of Christ? Formally or informally, I mean you are, formally would be you're already involved in something. You're a member of a committee, you're doing this, or informally, you're using your gifts, but you're not part of a committee or commission. That makes sense? Formally or informally. Are any of those ministries in which you are currently involved not in your giftedness? And if so, God may be calling you to consider changes. And perhaps you're involved using your natural talents and abilities, and there's nothing wrong with that. We're just talking about spiritual gifts. Where are you using those? In light of your gift clusters, remember we talked about the numbers, and grouping them maybe, primary, secondary. For what specific roles in the body of Christ has God possibly gifted you? And the importance of talking, discussing your findings with other believers who know you well, in order to evaluate what you're doing. Maybe someone will speak a word into your life that just, whoa, I need to consider that. So we're moving on to ministries that equip. And the first one are administrative ministries. Serve through church and parachurch leadership positions to the people who are part of the organization of the church, meaning staff, the congregation, or those served by the ministry. Parachurch organizations are those that are Christian and the church supports it. And so we have many of those. We are very, this is a very involved congregation. So, oh, I got to open my book. This is from, I'm reading from the Each One a Minister by William J. Carter, about administrative ministries. A basic task of leaders is to set people free to serve God, Exodus 8:1. Those who are gifted in administration are often able to discern abilities and gifts in others They're good at enabling people to minister by creating the conditions in which skills and talents may be used effectively. Sometimes we try to separate administration and ministry, but they are parts of one whole. Administrators are ministers helping ministers to minister. I like that. The best administrators are concerned for the spiritual empowerment of each person in the organization. By helping individuals realize their highest spiritual potential, administrators not only serve the needs of the congregation and its ministry, but also become catalysts for the work of the Holy Spirit in personal growth and development. What gifts might fit in here? Hearing that definition, what spiritual gifts might be administration gifts? And you look at your list in the back of your book. Administrators are ministers helping ministers to minister. What about the gift of encouragement? What else? What else do you think are gifts that fit in here?
Leadership.
Leadership.
Listening.
Oh, yes.
Organization.
Mm-hmm. Discernment.
Knowledge.
Yeah. One of the things I love to do at camp was to recognize a gift in one of my staff and say, let's test this out. Because camp provides opportunities for that, where you've got this whole community of people around you. And one young lady, she was already in college studying for youth ministry. And I said, you need to pastor a week at camp. I'll come alongside you and help you. And she just loved it. And she and her husband now live in California. They both have their PhD and they teach in whatever seminary that's out there. And she cites that week of camp as pivotal. Another person did the same thing with him, come alongside him, and it did not go well. He had that gift of teaching, but not in that context. You know, so testing and exploring and tapping shoulders and encouraging people. Anything else you think of with administration? Because often we just think of administration as those people who are involved in those positions, right? But according to this definition, these are people who not only can identify, but equip and come alongside, which expands that definition a little bit. Serving on councils, committees, and teams, identifying people with gifts, helping equip them, providing leadership for programs, ministries, and planning events. Overseeing areas of church maintenance and facilities improvement. Just an interesting grouping. Any questions or comments on that one? All right. Support and encouragement ministry. Providing spiritual, social, financial, and or emotional support for people in mission or in times of stress. So, the definition in my little book. Encouragement and support are basic to the continuity of our ministry through the church. These ministries undergird activities in the congregation, in the community, and around the world. We encourage one another in many ways, from individual encounters to specialized support groups, community leadership, or distant fields of mission. Offering support is a natural expression of ministry by people who have the gifts of kindness, encouragement, understanding, or healing. This ministry is a function of personal characteristics. Some people naturally are more sensitive, have more tact. That's interesting. And are more critical. Have more tact and are more positive in their reaction to others. They can encourage without appearing critical, can sympathize without appearing patronizing, yeah, can discuss experiences without being condescending. I think every one of us knows someone to whom we would go if we need support. And if you are often that person that others are coming to, that might be your clue. What are other areas, other gifts, support and encouragement ministries? Where is that evident in our congregation?
All those mission areas that we support outside the church, like Family Promise, Pregnancy Center.
Right. Those are our parachurch partnerships, yeah. Brother Gary's on his way with a disaster team to Tennessee today. The offering is for the disaster ministries, yeah. Yeah. Providing support to those with serious long-term or terminal illness, recruiting people to provide and promote support for missionaries, forming a group to talk and pray with community leaders in times of change or stress, organizing prayer and sharing groups for families in crisis. Deacons fall in here, right? We had the deacons training event here yesterday, and I think Wayne said there were 48 people, and at least five pastors that I knew of. I don't know everybody in the district yet. And this is the kind of talking that we covered. I knew a woman who was in her, she was 98, I think, and she had a notebook, like a college ruled notebook, and every page was dedicated to a missionary and their family or single. She knew their names, birthdays of everyone in the family, where they were, if they were allowed, if that was allowed. Just details, and she prayed through that notebook. That was her ministry of support. Couldn't go to church anymore. No, but that her ministry, she said, I will do this till the day I die. If I was somebody in that notebook, I would know that she was covering me in prayer. Anything else? Yes.
I think the last one on that list is something that we don't know if we forget or don't realize, but people in stress, and I'm not talking about just, oh my, I might lose my job, but health stress, taking care of, helping someone who's taking care of someone.
Caregivers.
And the stress that people feel. And I don't feel we do enough in that area.
Oh, interesting. That would be a good topic for in your Sunday school classes. Where are the needs, and are we addressing the needs, and how do we address the needs when we come alongside each other? Yeah.
When my father died, the first couple of weeks, my mother was invited out to go with people to church suppers, to take a drive through somewhere. And after a couple of weeks, it was over.
Mm. Yeah.
She wasn't over the stress yet.
Right, right. Good reminder. When my mother was diagnosed with ovarian cancer at 64 years of age, she was in the hospital after her surgery over Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving was going to be at my house. And one of my friends, my dear friends, was so concerned. I had 18 people coming to my house, and my mom's in the hospital, and she said, you can't have this dinner. I said, we need to have this dinner. We need to have some sort of normalcy. We'll set a table. We'll set a place for mom. We'll pray for mom. And I came home. I was at camp, and I went home. I wasn't working at camp. I was away. And when I got home, I discovered, sitting on my kitchen counter, a stack of Thanksgiving-themed paper plates and cups and napkins and silverware. And I, where did this come from? Our house is always locked. And I was just stumped. Where did this come from? And I was commenting in Sunday school the following Sunday about this, and my friend, and suddenly I just looked at my friend. I said, it was you, wasn't it? And she said, yes. I was very concerned that you didn't have all those dishes to do. And I said, how did you get in my house? She said, your front door was unlocked. We never unlocked our front door. That's that kind of thing, that she was so concerned for my well-being that she provided, and God unlocked my front door for her, I guess. So yeah, you're right. The ongoing long-term, not just the initial. Yeah. Good conversations. Well, and sometimes we need to also be sensitive to people who say no thank you. If they just don't want that kind of assistance, or they're just a more private person, we can be sensitive to the no thank you. But sometimes it's just, I'm coming over to do your laundry. I'm taking your books back to the library. I'm bringing you some groceries. Ministries that equip, wholeness ministries, relating creator and creation, providing for healing and reconciliation among people. Christ has promised wholeness, the healing of bodies and minds, the reconciliation of fragmented humankind, the harmony of the universe. That's a big one. The coming of Christ was the promise made visible. God, the world created by God is to be reunited with its creator in response to the redemptive act on the cross. Lives have been saved. People are less barbaric. The earth is more hospitable. Healing and reconciliation are everywhere in process, yet are needed everywhere. This ministry demands the best of each of us. And for the especially gifted, it may demand all. The ministry of wholeness is in response to the call to heal failing bodies, tormented minds, fragmented societies, threatened creatures, ravaged land. Its aim is to assist in the reconciliation of all creation to the one who made it, God. This is kind of what? People who are prayers for the healing of people, relationships, and nations. People who work for peace and reconciliation. I think about what's the name of the children's ministry group from the disaster ministries that goes out in response to disasters or work with children?
Yeah.
They fit into this category. Advocating justice for all people. Practicing physical or mental health disciplines. Providing hunger and nutrition services, conserving natural resources. Years ago, I knew our church in Ohio, there was a woman who was the peace and justice representative, and she always kept the church informed of what was happening in peace and justice in our community and around the world. Providing support and restoration for victims of personal and social abuse, encouraging humane treatment of animals, fighting against substance. So, thoughts on this one? We've already named some areas where we are at work, and I'm sure that there are many of you who are doing this in the community just naturally. Could be a lifetime call to a certain ministry, nurses, physicians, hospitals, advocacy, working for racial equality, fair treatment for workers, protection of the environment, nurture, taking care of victims of social and pathological disorders, reconciliation, bringing unity, rescuing the alienated, working for peace, or creation care, like starting a recycling program. Yes?
That can either be the big and global kind of activity. I'm going to go fight against poverty, which is this big, broad brush thing. But it can also be very close and one-on-one,
yes,
where you're dealing with a person who is troubled, and you continue to relate your experience of the Creator and creation and Christ, etc., whether or not they're buying into it, with the idea that hopefully it brings healing to that person.
Right.
It can be a one-on-one kind of thing. And sometimes, you know, they're not buying it, but maybe they will, right? So you don't stop.
Yes, very good. One-on-one or a broader global focus. One of the things that CAM Ministry always emphasized was creation care. We're out in God's living room. We need to take care of it. And I was, because we call nature God's living room, and we're invited out of the inside and into God's living room. And that we talked a lot about recycling and taking care of the land we were on and not being wasteful. And I said, if camps can't teach creation care, then that's sad. That is sad. Anything else? So ministries that equip. Now we go to ministries that send. And there's a lot of crossover in these. I'm sure you're recognizing that. The workplace ministries relating to people in the workplace in ways that reflect our identity as Christians and our personal and social concern. Just had a conversation with someone yesterday who was talking about delivering a product and the encounter that that person had with the individual that was not, it was not a productive conversation, but the individual said, I represent Christ. So even in that encounter, I needed to represent Christ in my workplace. For most adults, much of our daily life is spent either in a house environment or our work environment. Wherever you are, home, industry, business, traveling, most of us have a workplace. And there we experience a lot of things. Success, failure, relaxation, stress, personal growth and decline, all of it affects our life. The workplace is one arena where we live out the gospel. We affirm or deny the gospel by what we are, how we relate to others, what values we represent, along with our family, social, and church experiences. Our witness in the workplace can reveal the meaning and depth of our Christian commitment. What does it mean to be a Christian where I work? Folks, with these gifts, befriending fellow workers, helping to develop a supportive atmosphere, advocacy, protecting workers from exploitation, forming or attending prayer or study sessions at work, offering fellow workers Christ when it is appropriate, ministry of helpfulness, doing things for others, helps the hurting, assists processes, ministry of communication, listening, responding, opening communication, saying the right things, helping work things through, ministry of ethics, examining, reflecting on, and modeling moral values and ethical behavior, and a ministry of change, providing rationale and processes for improving relationships and productivity, helping people change and helping people accept change. And those things, they're not, many of them are not in a formal way. A lot of workplaces have people who do that, right? HR. But if you as an individual carry that kind, you have those gifts and you carry that with you naturally, it just happens naturally. So we don't separate. We believe that we are not to separate what happens here on a Sunday from what happens out there. Because how many hours do we spend here on a Sunday morning? How many hours are in the rest of the week? Yeah. What do you think about this one? Are there ways in which, well, I think this one, we need to be wise. I think wisdom, the gift of wisdom is important in this one, that we're not supposed to change everything, but we are to witness to Christ in everything. We're not going into an environment to say, oh, I'm going to upset the fruit basket and change everything in here. Plus, God calls you. But how we relate, how we speak, our ethics, how we treat our superiors, our work ethic, and how we treat others, that all speaks to who you are as a follower of Christ. Any comments on this one?
I find sometimes it's at least in my work career, which is behind me now, I felt like if my superior was aiming in the right direction, I would be very quick to say that's very difficult for you and why. And it was easy to get into a conversation that way instead of saying.
Yeah. So easy to affirm where you could see those healthy things. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they were very interested about that.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have the gift of encouragement. Yeah. That's important too. Affirming where you see healthy things happening. So what is, after I left camp, I worked in a warehouse packing boxes for a while. Oh, yeah, yeah. And I was not happy, but we needed the income. And I said to God, why am I here? And he said, basically, just follow me. And there were some things there, because as you know, I'm extremely organized. There were some things in that warehouse that drove me nuts. Please just let me organize things. But that wasn't my call. But how I treated people, how I did not engage in the gossip. Honesty was huge. Being an honest person. My work ethic. All of those things represented Christ in a situation not happy to be in.
Well, it's important not to feel that any task is below
you. No task is below us, right.
Many times I go in and we'll run out of paper and copier and I'll put them up and finish theirs instead of.
Yeah.
Don't you give on me all the time? I go in and fill them on. Why do you do that? You don't. That's the only thing I start to finish on it.
So Linda is saying being willing to do whatever it needs to be done.
Yeah, if you see trash in the parking lot, it's not
Okay.
Humility. Be humble. That takes care of a lot of the problems that you end up encountering in the workplace. Mm-hmm. And then do them to others as you have them doing you for the
Humility and the golden rule. Yeah.
Toby's right, because sometimes in a workplace, especially if you're working remotely and most of your interactions are on phone, Zoom meetings and all that kind of stuff, sometimes you feel like the best encouragement that coworker could have is a shovel upside the head. But if you take a breath and set back a little bit, we need to remember that we are always in a position to reflect our identity as a Christian.
Yeah.
And so if you take a deep breath and step back and say, okay, how can I encourage this person in a more positive way? And you find it's actually very satisfying when you do that. Because when you react and get yourself worked up, can't get up. It's harder to pull off.
Right. Okay. Ministries that send community ministries, being involved in activities, exemplify Christian concern and care for social and personal needs in the surrounding community. So at the board meeting last week, we heard a presentation from Family Promise, and it was wonderful. We're very involved, this congregation, in Family Promise. And there was a discussion about the homeschooling group, HIS, which is what? Home Instructed Students. And they come once a month during the school year, and the request was, could a group of the older students come every week? And the discussion around the board was absolute. So I was like soaking that all up. It just fits with what we're talking about. Reading from this book, wherever we are, a community surrounds us, whether in a village in Mexico, in a suburb in Kansas, or a small town in Virginia. really says it. These geographical communities are both complicated and enriched by other communities, the vocational community, the religious community, the social community, the political community. Each community has a multitude of opportunities and needs that differ, depending on the age and socioeconomic level of the people, the stability of the community, the geographic circumstances, and the social and religious factors. Some Christians are especially gifted to serve the needs of people in the communities where they are. And the most important thing is for a fellowship of believers to know the community in which they are. You're not a little island. This congregation is wonderful at knowing the needs, physical, economic, emotional needs. And we can always do better. We can always say, okay, God, what else is out there for us to participate in the ministry of servanthood? There, it's a better ending to a sentence. Ministry of servanthood. You may be attracted to a community ministry that already exists and choose to participate, or you may explore a ministry for a group not presently served by anyone else in your community. Any comments on this one? This is one of the wonderful things about churches where God places us around the world. And it's so important to hear stories of the ministries that other, like at the annual conference, we heard testimonies from other churches and what they were doing in their communities. We're not all the same. Not all grapes, right? God calls us to ministries on the street where you live is the title of this one. Any comments on this one?
Yeah, we have a teen challenge also.
Teen challenge. Yep. Absolutely. And our youth band playing yesterday, we're sending our youth out to be a witness in our community. Is powerful. Witness ministry. Taking advantage of opportunities and techniques for evangelism and faith sharing in varied settings at home and around the world. Witnessing, both clergy and laity think that witness is a shared responsibility. Neither group is more important than the other, but there are some who are particularly gifted in the witness ministries, and you think of Billy Graham, right? Sometimes they're the large crowds, and sometimes they're one-on-one. Neither one is more important than the other. Each has an indispensable place in the ministry of witness. We are called. We are all called to tell the good news. Remember that Saint Francis of Assisi is reported to have said, "Preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words." Yep. Personal evangelism can be implemented anywhere. Local church witness group, group evangelism, small groups in your church, studying, sharing Christian faith. Any comments about this? Yes.
Going to be a part of something like this week. We're going to Tennessee to a homeschool volleyball tournament. There will be over 100 teams of homeschool kids coming to play volleyball of all genders and ages. When that started out, and now it's grown to 100, but the point of doing it was to, coach is big one, let's go out, let's show them Jesus. Yeah. Through us. And so we are descending on Gatlin Road into Forge this week to kind of show them Jesus by our actions.
Yeah.
How we not only play volleyball together, and you can see that in the sportsmanship of the world, but even just going to the Titanic Museum or the aquarium. And so I think that shows up in everything we do.
Yep. Absolutely. Witnessing.
The role of Christians. Love.
Sometimes you use words. Yeah. Any other comments on this one?
I think far too often when you look at the witness as standing up and telling people, gee, God is wonderful, he does this for you, he does this, he does this, he does this. And then after a jubilee, we go out and be ourselves.
Need to preach to yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I would say we go out. We don't do what we preach.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I sadly knew a very well-known pastor who was known on the golf course as the potty-mouthed preacher. What kind of a witness is that? Yes. How we live our lives is a witness.
There's a small article in some paper I was reading yesterday. A teenage boy found a billfold in a swamp with thousands of dollars in it. And he spent months until he tracked down the man to give it back.
Mm-hmm. He had some good role models. Yeah. He had some good role models in his life. Yeah. And that's so important, because there are, our children will watch what we do and remember it more than what we say. Yeah. Okay. So we've covered all four of those areas. And according to this author, it sort of looks like this. I couldn't copy it directly from his book, but I did give him credit. So this is my interpretation. What do you think of that? What strikes you about this?
Never had a start.
Huh? Yeah. I should have put Jesus in the center, right? Yeah, kind of.
It really is all interrelated, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And even though there's folks like the community out with sin, community is also points to relate, and it points to, you know, they kind of all intersect.
Right.
I think you're right. Jesus should be in the center, because that's starting.
Yep.
Push the button and go down.
Yep. The easy button, right? Mm-hmm. The wheel, that does not include a complete list of possible ministries, and there may be more. Individual churches may have more. But what the wheel suggests is the importance of all God's people working together for one goal, and all believers knowing and using their spiritual gifts. And it moves, right?
What happens if one person goes one way and another starts going the other?
Well, you know, sometimes that might mean if a congregation, there are congregations that do church plants. And it may not mean it's going a different direction. It may just mean there's a why in the road. There's a calling. That takes people who have the gift of discernment and wisdom to say God is calling something new. But if it's going the opposite direction, yeah, there would, you would need to have the same people helping to say.
Saying going this way and this way.
Yeah.
So maybe it's pointing you back to where you meet is where you need to be.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Says the mechanic.
Make that say all kinds of things.
Yeah, you can. It's just a tool. Ministry is not only what happens within the gathered body of Christ, but what we do every day in all areas of our lives, at home, at work, in our communities, in the world. A missional church, which was a phrase, a word that was coined, I don't know, in the 80s or 90s, is a body of people who have been sent on mission, and I added, by Jesus Christ, and then who gather in community for worship, encouragement, and teaching from the word. This gathering supplements what they are feeding themselves throughout the week and strengthens them for their mission. A missional church is not attractional, developing programming that may entice people to attend, but rather the body of Christ at work in the world as disciples. Let's discuss this one. This is a quote from the book. I immediately went, what do you think about those two sentences? Do you agree or disagree, and why?
Well, there are some churches and the ones that come to mind are the big mega churches, really big churches, and they've got a 25-piece rock band, and they're just rocking the roof with their service, and the purpose is to attract people to come in to go to church,
mm-hmm.
but they might not necessarily turn that around to go out and be Christians in your community. It's more about let's get people in the building and we'll preach to them on Sunday, whereas the missional church is, these are people who try to live their Christian lives every day, happen to gather on Sundays to come together to share, to worship, to be part of that. And the church may or may not be something that's reaching out saying, hey, come, we got a really exciting thing going on.
There, this is where this wheel is interesting, because I know churches who are in that attractional mode, but they also have the rest of that. We attract folks to come, and then we plug them into small groups and discipleship groups and accountability groups, and where are your gifts and where are you serving? And so that's why this is all important. Not just attractional, oh, we had 1,000 in worship today. It was the whole thing. So good insight. What
Tom was saying, we were invited to a mega church years ago in Fredericksburg, and we were sitting on the mezzanine level.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it was entertainment.
Ah.
So there was a band, and this preacher, he's up and down the stage, and I thought, and I was looking at everybody, and I thought, I wonder what they think. Are they thinking the same thing I'm thinking? Is this an entertainment?
Right. Yeah.
The thing that jumped out at me in that was the beginning, it said that we should be Christians in our home with our families. I have been to, and I'll pick on Harrisonburg Walmart over by Home Depot, because I find that exemplifies the jokes you see on Walmart.
I've been there many times. I'm not on part of people at Walmart.
Oh, I'm not even. But they treat their children with no respect. I mean, they stand in line and all they do is break them and beat on them, and It is so sad to watch. There is no respect given, but they're standing there and either, no offense, young people, really outrageous holy jeans with a very, very tight short top with a lot of body in the middle that kind of explodes out. Or pajamas, and they haven't right combed their hair for a week. They don't even respect themselves. But we sometimes think we are there with our actions and our words in our families. But it's sometimes you do relax at home and maybe we forget to be as nice to our family.
Mm. Oh boy. That's another sermon.
Don't they
only
want
to
be nice anymore?
You lack no single gift while you wait expectantly for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. God will keep you firm to the end without reproach on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God alone calls you to share in the life of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and God is faithful. I'm kind of whipping through here in the last. submitting to one another, submitting to God, under the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit, who's at work in us and through us. The dynamic relationship. That's the other thing about the wheel. It's dynamic. It's not static. Community of believers. All gifts are present in any fellowship. The makeup of ministries in each context may be different. Rural versus urban, large versus small, older established fellowships versus new church plants, multi-generational, multicultural versus specific generations or cultures. You get the picture. When we each discover, learn, and use our spiritual gifts in submission to God and each other, the Holy Spirit will empower and use us as He wants to. All of our gifts are needed to develop disciples who live out their desire to follow Jesus Christ. By worship regularly, growing spiritually, helping others develop as disciples, participating in mission through service and giving, because our ultimate goal, and this is a quote, as members of the body of Christ, is to reach out in love, seeking others who need to hear the good news, and forming disciples who will in turn reach out in love to others whom they encounter in their daily lives. N.T. Wright says, we are people of the Word, capital W. The practice of reading Scripture, studying Scripture, acting Scripture, singing Scripture, generally soaking oneself in Scripture as an individual and a community has been seen from the earliest days of Christianity as central to the formation of Christian character. Thank you. So we're going to close our study with Scripture and unison, a unison prayer, because we do believe in the Word that is instructional to us. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Let's pray this in unison. Our Lord and Savior, your grace has saved us. We cannot save ourselves. Your grace has made us who we are. We cannot make anything of ourselves without your grace. Prepare us to live lives of good deeds. But you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you, from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. Dear God, the giver of every gift, help us to discern our gifts so that we may be willing instruments to do your work in the world. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect will. Lord, accept my life as an offering. As I acknowledge what you have done for me, so let me be the best I can for you. Help me to resist the current culture of the world and fix my attention on you. Thank you for all that you have given me, your grace. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Lord Jesus, you came to serve, not to be served. Help us to do the same, so that your name will be glorified. In your precious name, pray. Amen. So keep discovering, keep praying, keep seeking what God wants you to do, what God wants us to do. prayerfully hold the results of your inventories. Keep obediently pursuing God's plan for you and for us.
Thank you.